She is your first lady of the Eugene sports scene. She is on the scene in Nebraska. Find her work for KEZI Sports, channel 709 in high def on my Xfinity system. Catch up online, KEZI.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Kristen E. Rogers. KR, thanks for the time. Always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm great. I think I'm lost on my way to Lincoln, though. So this is a good adventure. I hope everyone knows my directional skills are that of like a wounded bumblebee. So getting to stadiums is a challenge for me every single trip. So it's no surprise that I am lost, but I am somewhere in the cornfield of Nebraska right now.
That, I don't know if I'm laughing or frightened for you and should send help. Are you looking for – go ahead.
I have to go live tonight for KEZI, so you can tune in at 5, 6, and 6:30 and see if I make it.
Have you been looking for either of Ty Webb's lumber yards, or have you visited Bushwick Country Club yet?
You know, I should visit Bushwick. There were so many guys on the plane that brought their golf clubs with them, and I was like, I should go over and visit and get around him with Rodney Dangerfield, although unfortunately I don't think I'm going to have enough time for that now.
I want to hit rewind and go back to Tuesday night, the game for the Northwest League title at PK Park in Eugene. And pregame, you told me that you wanted to record a champagne celebration, and you got to do just that. The chance to be there and witness that kind of euphoria from a team you've covered all year, it sounds like you had an awesome time.
I don't even know how to describe it. And it's funny because talking with their manager, Jesus Luciano, after the game, too, he said there are no words to describe this feeling. And it was really just in those screams, those post-game screams from the players, the coaches, the cheering, the popping of champagne. And I think that's the best way to just describe that night is just in those screams and those, I mean, I might say the whole night was just like jaw wide open. I mean, I was covered. I literally, Alan Benavides, their GM, who is one of my favorite people, was nice enough to give me a new M shirt and hat because I was soaked. And there was no way I was going to be able to go on air. It was honestly one of the coolest moments of my life just to see that kind of euphoria from a team that has worked so hard. And the cool thing about minor league ball is the entire season these guys are fighting for stats. They're fighting to move their way up. But when it comes to the playoffs, that's just simple. We want to win as a team, and that's exactly what the M's did, and it capped off a phenomenal year for them and bringing back that title for the first time in 41 years.
Now, you're a big 49er fan. We talked last week, Chip Kelly, game one, and while it looks like the Rams might not be very good, it's a shutout. So from a win is a win to let's not get crazy just yet, 1-0, what's your level of optimism?
Yeah, not a whole lot of optimism. I think really it just gives Niners fans a false sense of confidence. I think the interesting thing, well, I mean, it was almost funny because I have so many friends from the Bay Area and we're all Snapchatting and texting each other back and we're all like, the Niners are winning? Yeah, the Niners are winning right now. Like, wow, okay. Because I was actually at the M's game when that was going on there, game two, and my phone died. So, of course, I'm being a terrible sports journalist and I have no idea what's going on in the game until I get back to the station and I see that the Niners are up 14-0, and I thought it was a mistake. I thought that there was a mistake on the crawl, but apparently not. I think there's obviously a lot of kinks that need to be worked out, but I think more than anything, it just really exposed the troubles that the L.A. Rams have. I mean, if you're willing to have Case Keenum in there for so long, what's going on with Jared Goff? That's what I want to know. Like, what behind the scenes, you know, we obviously saw a lot of stuff in Hard Knocks, but what's going on there? And then as an Oregon State reporter, seeing Sean Mannion warm up the sidelines, I wanted him to go in so badly just to see him make that. But unfortunately, no, we'll have to wait until the Rams do a little bit worse, I guess.
We're talking with Kristen Rogers, KEZI Sports. She's followed the Ducks to Nebraska. So let's get to Oregon. I think Virginia stunned them a little bit, running for almost 200 yards a week after they couldn't run against Richmond. On your Twitter account, you posted a conversation with the linebacker coach, Don Pelham. What are his thoughts about maybe the Oregon defense limiting what the Huskers can do on the ground?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think after Virginia, when you see Johnny Reagan not suit up, AJ Hodgkins goes down, I think that there are Oregon fans and Oregon should be concerned about the depth at linebacker. But then you have the depth chart come out and has both AJ Hodgkins and Johnny Reagan starting, but we clearly see AJ Hodgkins in a boot. So I don't know what's going on there. But I do think that is a little bit of a concern when you have some more of your veteran guys banged up, especially at linebacker, and you're going up against the Huskers' run. I think, you know, all of the coaches have said this is their first real test when it comes to defending the run, and that's been Oregon's biggest trouble all season is they need to be able to have better gap integrity, and they need to fit the run better. And I think this is going to provide the first real chance of evaluation and kind of give the Ducks a sense of where this defense can stand in the national landscape heading into a very tough Pac-12 season.
I like gap integrity. I think it shows true character in people. Yeah. A common theme after Virginia was the upgraded play maybe of Dakota Prukop, who I think the QB looked sharp. You talked actually with Devin Allen, who had a huge game. What did he have to say about the performance of his quarterback? But I guess also just in general, the offense looking, I guess, more familiar as far as what Duck fans are accustomed to.
Yeah, I mean, with so many new pieces coming in, you always have to wonder what kind of offense it's going to look like, if it's going to look like a, quote, traditional Oregon offense. And I think the last time you probably had a, quote, traditional Oregon offense was Marcus's last year because it was, you know, the same. You've had the same kind of quarterback for so long in this program that your offense has just a lot of returners. And then, obviously, Vernon was a special quarterback, and I think we see that even more now with Dakota. Not that Dakota's not doing a good job so far, but Vernon was just something special there. So he kind of brought his own taste to the Oregon program. But now you have Dakota in there, and he really is just being that point guard of the offense. That's kind of what Devin echoed as well. Is, you know, he had 5 touchdowns to 5 different guys, which is great. That's what you want. You know, Oregon wants to showcase their playmakers, and that's exactly what they're able to do against Virginia. That's what they're going to have to continue to do, though. Moving on into Nebraska this week and then onward to conference play as well.
Now, an interesting element of this game, of course, you have 2 native Oregonians who will meet on the field in Lincoln, Health of Coos Bay, Riley of Corvallis. We know who had the upper hand when Coach Riley was the head Beaver. But what did Coach Health have to say about facing Mike Riley, but under these circumstances?
You know, it's interesting because you have Mike Riley brought 6 of his guys over with him, 6 of his coaching staff. And, you know, you still have Mark Banker as a defensive coordinator. So this is a very familiar look for Oregon. It's a lot of what you saw at Oregon State. But really it's just a kind of a different brand of football player. There's a lot more depth at Nebraska. And that's what, you know, both offense and defense, that's what both sides of the ball were saying, is that there's a lot more depth. That's especially what Steve Greatwood said. And the guys are dealing with Nebraska guys, you know, who are just normally, like, they're just a little bit bigger when you recruit them. They're you know, a little bit more corn-fed, not to sound bad, but, you know, they're just a different style of football player. And Mike Riley is kind of stuck with his bread and butter of recruiting those hard-nosed football players and playing some hard-nosed football, and he's just able to do it at a different level now at Nebraska. And, you know, the Helfrich was saying he's expecting to see the same kind of intensity that he saw at Oregon State, but maybe just with a little bit more depth that than the Beavers had his last few years when he was at Corvallis.
Now, I wanted to ask you what Lincoln is like, because I hear, you know, I think one of the coaches said there's no Nebraska State or NFL, and they're just all bleeding big red, but we're still 50-50 as the fact of if you're going to even make it to Lincoln?
I'm on a highway somewhere outside of Omaha. There's corn and or wheat next to me. It's beautiful. No, but really, I mean, I've seen a lot of footage of Nebraska games. I have, you know, friends and other people that I know that have gone to Nebraska that have just talked about what Big Red Nation is like. And just to have that 90,000, I mean, that's immense. No, Austin is 54,000. And I think what's interesting is for your first road trip, you always want to talk with your young guys about what this is going to be like. But you also have to talk with Dakota Prukop about that, too. I mean, you know, playing at Montana State and FCS, he never had those kind of really big stadium experiences. He was joking. He was just now getting used to what the 54,000 is like at Austin, and now he's going to be put in front of 90,000. So, obviously, Oregon always tries to pump crowd music into their practices. They try to up the intensity, but it's always a different feel when you walk out onto that stadium and you see those 90,000 in person, and obviously that's what Oregon's going to see tomorrow.
All right. Final thought, as I mentioned, you're on the scene for tomorrow's big non-conference finale for the Ducks. What can we expect from you, KZI Sports, tonight, pregame, and after tomorrow?
Yes, well, for sure, tune into KZI tonight at 5, 6, and 6:30. I will. I'm determined now. I've more than enough time to get to Lincoln. I will also be at Memorial Stadium to give you guys a look at what it looks like empty compared to what it looks like completely full. Like we'll see tomorrow. But no, and then we have College Game Day. Game is on ABC tomorrow. It's on KZI starting at 12:30 Pacific time, 2:30 here in Nebraska. And it should be great. You know, we'll have college game night immediately after, so we'll have live sound. We'll have a lot of great stuff coming your way. And then, yeah, I'm going to be posting a lot of stuff on Twitter as well, kind of key points to take a look at, and hopefully photos from Memorial Stadium. So your fingers crossed.
You know, it's so weird. My first thought, it's the dad in me. I almost feel like saying, listen, young lady, you text me when you get there, but I'm just going to wish you, I'm going to wish you safe travels. And I actually look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Thanks so much, KR. Be safe.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll talk to you soon, Steve.